Okay, open up your Bibles to John chapter 15, verse 5. Actually, we'll start in verse 1. I want to get this in context and people can understand what we're talking about. Every once in a while, I'll tell you there's a really important chapter in the Bible that you really should read. Romans chapter 8 is one of those. John chapter 15 is one of those. This is a whole chapter that you should just make it a point to go home and read it. Start at verse 1. As I am, there's that word I am. We talked about that last Sunday. I am. That's what God told Moses when he asked him who he was and said, I am that I am. Jesus said, I am. And here he is saying it again in capital letters. He's telling them he is God. He is God the Father. It is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If you abide not in me, he is cast. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Now, did you notice how much time Jesus talked about you? He's talking to you. He's giving us instructions on how to live. Abiding in him, abiding in the vine. You want to bear fruit? See, here's the big challenge. People read about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, and then they want to go out there and they want to start making fruit. Like, they have the ability to do that. You don't. And you won't. What you will produce is frustration, anger, condemnation. Why? Because you're trying to do something that you're not capable of doing. Remember, Jesus said, he's the vine and you are the branches. Your job is to abide in him. How do we do that? By picking up the Bible and reading of his word. Remember, Jesus said to take his yoke upon you and learn of him. The more you learn about Jesus, the more of his life is going to come into you. And guess what's going to happen? Fruit. Fruit. It's just going to happen. But here he's talking about your position. Remember in Ephesians, in that prayer that we covered, talks about us being seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. It's important for you to find these things where it talks about you being in Christ Jesus. Find those, circle them, identify yourself there. He says that you are the branches. He did not say for you to try to be the branches. What he wants us to do is be conscious of our position in Christ. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it tells us, "For he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us that we might..." Well, actually, no. That's 5:21. "You've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are past. Behold, all things become new." You've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. It's so important to understand those words. In Christ Jesus. Now look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." There's that word "in" again. It's talking about us being in him. Now, what we need to do is be conscious of our position. Not our condition. It's somewhat easier to be conscious of our condition. Wouldn't you say so? I mean, if you're sick and you don't feel good, you know, it's right there in your face. It's easy to be conscious of your condition and not your position. But Jesus wants you to be conscious of your position. The devil wants you to be conscious of your condition. Because that's what he's doing to you. But what Jesus is doing to you is trying to get you to be conscious of your position. See, there's Christians running all over the place that have no idea that they've been made kings and priests. They have no idea that they have been made lords. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, if he's the King over kings, who's his little kings? That'll be you. If he's the Lord over lords, who are the little lords? That'll be you. What he's trying to get you to do is to identify yourself with him in such a way that you'll take authority over these bad things that happen and cause blessings to happen wherever you be. You know, that's when Jesus moved in to you, you became a blessing looking for a place to happen. Did you know that? A lot of people don't understand that. They're preachers that are sitting on their butt saying the devil's just getting away with anything he wants to do. And a lot of Christians chime into agreement with them. They don't understand their position. They're focused on their condition. We don't want to do that. We want to focus on our position. The devil wants you to focus on your condition and not your position. Your position in Christ is you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now we're back to 2 Corinthians 5:21. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What on earth that means is that you are in right standing with the Father. Whatever was wrong between you and God before you got born again got taken care of the minute you said, "Jesus, be my Lord." The blood of Jesus took it all out of the way. Now you're in right standing with God. That's what righteousness means. That's one of those religious words that get so abused, so misused. Even the devil uses that word. You know something? I heard about righteousness in the bar long before I ever heard about it in a church. And this is how it would get used. Those guys that are hanging out down in that church are nothing but a bunch of self-righteous hypocrites. And then they go on and start talking about all their shortcomings. Well, that's like the pot calling the kettle black. But, you know, because the guy sitting in the bar didn't have any business judging anybody, you know. But the devil made that word such a bad sounding word to me that I wanted to stay far away from it. I didn't want anybody to call me righteous. I didn't know what it meant. I thought it had something to do with your dress. Well, Adam and Eve thought so too. Because they knew they were out of right standing with God, so they made clothes for themselves. Amen. You're in right standing with God, the Father. That means you're in a position to receive abundance. You're in a position to receive healing. You're in a position to receive protection. You're in a position to let Him be the good shepherd over your life. Amen. Now go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's a pretty high place you've been put. The Bible tells us we've been placed far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And we got Christians that are running around, and you ask them how they're doing, they say, under the circumstances, I'm doing pretty good. You're not under the circumstances. If you're born again, you've been placed above your circumstances. You've been placed above your challenges. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. This is one of those real important chapters. The whole Bible is important. But I noticed that there's several chapters that really have a profound impact on people if they will read them. And if they'll meditate on them and just camp in there for a while. Romans chapter 8 is one of those chapters. Verse 17 goes on. Said of children that heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. You ever stop to think what it must be like to be a joint heir with Christ? I mean, if you sit there and honestly assess that verse, you're going to have to come to the conclusion that whatever He has is yours. Yeah. To be joint heirs, that means you got equal portions of everything that He has. Amen. Well, the Bible does tell us that God has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. The devil wants you to forget that you're a joint heir. He does not want you to understand that. The devil knows that when you focus on your position, you will change your condition. People will focus on the problem, and that's all they'll look at. Instead of looking at the answer, and the answer is your identity in Christ. When you look to Him and see who you really are, the devil's toast. And he knows it. So he's going to cause as many distractions as he can possibly cause to get you to not look at the answer. you know, one of the, I don't know, it aggravates a lot of people. It doesn't bug me so much, but how many of you ever have had a challenge reading the Bible, and you'll start reading the Bible and you'll make it one chapter, two chapters, you know, three chapters, pretty soon you're taking a nap? Be honest, I do. It used to really kind of bother me, but then I thought, what a peaceful way to go to sleep. And then when you wake up, you read some more. But the devil would try to throw condemnation my way, and I finally got over it, and I thought, man, you know, if I really need to go to sleep, I can read the Bible. Amen, but it's going to feed me. But when I wake up, I can read some more. Amen. Don't let the devil throw condemnation your way. I've heard of people standing on the edge of the bathtub reading the Bible so they wouldn't fall asleep. Do you suppose God would be that demanding? No. You know, I've noticed something about babies, you know, if they get distressed and they can finally make it to their mom and they're freaked out and they finally get to their mom and she grabs them up and holds them and gets everything calmed down, you know, pretty soon they kind of quit hyperventilating and quit crying and then pretty soon they're asleep. Well, what have you done when you grabbed the Bible and you started reading, you started feeding on Jesus? You ran to the Father and you're in His wings and things are okay. Did you notice you get a calming effect when you read the Bible? A relaxing effect? And you get some rest. That's okay. John chapter 15, verse 5 says that you will bear much fruit. This means that when you pray against any lack, abundant supply will follow. When you pray for healing, sickness will leave. It is not by your own doing, but it's by His life flowing through you. Remember He said, let my words abide in you. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, that will I do. What? You're letting His life flow through you. Well, that's cool. That's better than us having to sit down and try to fast our way into a miracle or try to pray our way into whatever challenge we need. You know, why don't we just do it His way? Let His word abide in us, use His name, and get the benefits that He said we'd get. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. There we are back to learning of Jesus. The more we learn of Him, the more that wisdom and revelation we're going to get. So that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly place, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He has put all things under His feet. He put them all under His feet, gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, doesn't the Bible tell us that you're in Christ? You're the body of Christ? So if Jesus is above all things, guess where you are? You're above all things. If Satan's been placed under Jesus' feet, guess whose feet are above Jesus also? Yours. Your feet are above Satan. My friend always used to say, if Satan has anything to say to me, he's going to have to say it to the sole of my shoe. But that's our position. And that's what Jesus wants us to see. He wants us to focus on our position and not our condition. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, so you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Isn't that cool? We've been placed into a pretty good position. I know when there's pain in your body, it's easy to focus on the condition. You know, when you got a patch on your eye, you can focus on your condition. But I'm telling you, don't give up. I don't care how many naysayers you run into. I don't care how many people look at you sideways. Do not give up. Focus on your position and what you've been given in this whole deal where you got to be a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Yeah? Is it going to be easy? It's not always going to be easy. I mean, sometimes things come fast. Sometimes you got to stand in there and grind away at it for a while, but don't give up. Remember, the disciples were in a terrible storm one time, and Jesus came walking out on the water in the fourth watch of the night. I mean, you got to admit, when you're really, really waiting on something, some of the loneliest, darkest times are just before the sun comes up. I did a lot of roughnecking in the wintertime in Wyoming, and the Morning Tower was one of my favorite towers. But the hardest time to be on that rig was an hour and a half before that sun come up. That was the coldest time of the day. You know, it's right there. That's when you need to tie a knot, you know, right when it seems like there's never going to be any end to it. You don't have the answers. You don't have any ideas. You're tired of the whole thing. You need to tie a knot in your rope and cling to Jesus. He's going to get the job done. Amen? He just needs you to keep believing on him. Now look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power and all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. See, you've already been delivered from your troubles. Why are they still bugging me? How much time have you spent feeding on his word, getting revelation of it, getting knowledge of him, so that you can have a revelation of it, so you can walk in that freedom? And you're not going to operate in anything that you don't know. See, there's whole groups of people that don't believe in healing. Well, they're not going to receive any healing if they don't believe in that. It's hard to receive something that you don't believe in. There's lots of people that don't receive in finances. You know, they don't believe in that. You know, they don't think, you know, they must think that when you get born again, you're just destined to live a doom and gloom, barely get by life. And that's just not the way God has this whole thing designed. You know, you fell heir to Abraham's blessings. What does that entail? Well, when Melchizedek, the high priest, came down and met Abraham after the slaughter of the kings, he said, "Blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth." That pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? I mean, there's not much left after that, is there? I mean, heaven and earth pretty much covers it all, I would say, don't you? Sometimes we just got to look at these things squarely. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. There's our healing. But did you notice, I find it curious. Don't you find it a little bit curious how he talked about how your sins were taken care of? And then he started talking about your healing? Well, that's kind of an important thing. You know, the paralytic that they let down through the roof? You know, Jesus said that he could have just as easily said, "Be healed and go along your way." That's not what he said. He says, "Son, your sins are forgiven you. And get up and roll your bed up." You know, sometimes that's what people need to hear, that they're forgiven. It's amazing what happens to a man when he finds out that God is not mad at him. That God has forgiven him. And it really bugs me when people twist scripture and use it on people in a bad way to hold them in bondage, to keep them in condemnation. You know, I ran into a soldier one time that was in Tel Aviv. And he was down and out. And I said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "God loves you and he forgives you." I didn't know nothing about none of this other stuff. But he said, "How can God forgive me? I killed people." I said, "Well, wait a minute. Let's go talk about this for just a second." I said, "Was you a soldier?" And he said, "Yes, I was a soldier." He said, "And then the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not kill." I said, "Number one, that's not what God said." He said, "Thou shalt not murder." Religious people twisted that and they wrote it down as, "Thou shalt not kill." God said, "Thou shalt not murder." You weren't over there murdering people. You had to do your duty And I told him, I said, you cannot have a God of peace without having a God of war. You are bringing mercy to a place that people were being abused. I said, you're forgiven. And that changed his whole life around. Everything was different. Nothing was the same again. Why? Because he learned the truth. You know, Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. He got instantly set free there. Amen? Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, and we'll stop with that. And he has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Kings and priests. So what do we do as kings? See, we have a twofold ministry. See, in the Old Testament, you couldn't be a king and a priest. You could be a king or you could be a priest, but they weren't both. As kings, you decree things. Remember, you're seated at the right hand of God. So you decree things. What would you decree? You decree healing. You pray for people. You use the name of Jesus. What you decree has weight. When you use the name of Jesus, there's a lot of weight to that. When you pray the prayer of faith over your life, you decree it in the name of Jesus. And then your next step is to take up your role as a priest, offering up praises to God. Remember, we pray the prayer of faith, and then we praise Him for the answer. We keep praising Him until we see the manifestation, and then we thank Him for it. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that you do for us. Every day, as our good shepherd and our high priest, we thank you for taking care of us, protecting us, watching over us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is always here with us. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.